Kevin Bradley, professor at the University of Missouri.
All right, Kevin, we appreciate the time to talk to us about what you're seeing a lot across the corn and soybean belt in terms of dicamba injured crops and plants. You just released an update this week that shows more than, for one thing, what we're seeing reported in by the Missouri Department of Agriculture. So can you kind of just give us a lay of the land of what you're seeing?
Well, I guess I just want to point out that it's not just what I'm seeing. We were asked by the Environmental Protection Agency and others to keep track of injury throughout the U.S. again this year. I do that through two different means. Provide data directly from the Department of Ag pertaining to their official investigations, and then the other way is I just pull my colleagues for their estimates. And so those are the two things that we provide. One is an estimate from university weed scientists all around the U.S., and the other is the official investigations that are ongoing pertaining to dicamba. And so we put pretty much our first one out of the year, and university weed scientists are estimating about 380,000 acres or so of soybeans injured, and that is much higher than what's actually being reported to the departments of ag. And so I think that's kind of one of the take-home messages this year, is there's just not a lot of interest in reporting these issues among a lot of people anyway.
Okay. How does it compare at this point in our 2018 season with last year at this time?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's really all across the board. I mean, it's going to be different for every state. It's interesting that some of the southern states, which are usually well ahead of us in planting and everything else, are a little bit behind this year because of their wet weather. And so some of the cases and some of the injuries is probably we're not even close to being there yet as far as seeing what's actually going to happen. And I think that's a pretty typical statement among a lot of my colleagues, that in the next 2 or 3 weeks we're going to see what really happened, because a lot of spraying has been going on just now. But for the most part, I think we're a little behind as far as, you know, the season and agriculturally for the areas that are usually providing some of the data. So we'll just have to see, really. It's just a lot's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, that's a good point to make, and we certainly want to keep in touch with you about that. I believe the earlier estimate that you had come out with, and when I say you, I'm talking collectively now, like you pointed out, was most of the damage was being seen early on in ornamental plants and specialty crops and gardens and things like that. So to see it in soybeans is not to be unexpected, correct?
No, not really. You know, for my own state, I can comment, and the injury we saw early was in those specialty crops you just mentioned, trees and all of that, and I think there's a good reason. Many of the growers decided to just use this in the burn down, which is really not something we've done in the past. It's a kind of a unique pattern to use dicamba in that way, but I was told that all winter long, and I think that's probably why we are seeing, or why we did see more of the injury on things like strawberries and ornamental trees and blackberries and things that are out there at that time of year. But we didn't see any real problems with soybean because they weren't even planted yet. So I guess it remains to be seen whether, you know, that's all we're going to see, at least in Missouri. Whether a farmer north of I-70, for example, is really not going to spray any of the approved products post-emergence. I mean, that's really what remains to be seen. And and at least in our state.
And would you say that's a lot of that, of course, is due to the changes that have taken place since last season in terms of the EPA label restricted use pesticide, the Missouri label and cutoff dates, and the education that has taken place?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of growers that are leery of all the problems from last year and just decided not to to use it or to go away from it, at least during the season, or to put their own self-imposed restriction on it. Another thing that is happening is there's certain retailers and co-ops that do custom spraying that have basically set their own cutoffs, or more recently said we're just not going to spray anymore because of these issues. So that's going to play a role also.
Okay. And then I'm not sure in terms of comparison, if you were able to or have that information from last year at this time, and if that's a relevant comparison. I just thought it would be kind of interesting. And if you don't, you can email that to me or something in terms of the damages that have been reported to date. And I realize
yeah.
the growing circumstances are different too.
Yeah, we didn't even, of course, last year was kind of the inaugural year for seeing all these problems. Unfortunately, we didn't even have a request or a report at this time last year, so we really don't know across the nation. It would have to be somebody that goes to each Department of Ag and see what
okay.
There was. But our first report didn't even start till mid July, I believe, or 1st of July. So,
what about
yeah,
for Missouri? Do you recall what was happening in Missouri at this time last year?
Missouri, we were probably less. I would say, yeah, I could find out. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure we were. We had more complaints at this point in time last year compared to this year. Of course, we didn't have a cutoff in the southeastern portion of the state last year. This year we do. So, and again, all the things you said, hopefully the training did something. I mean, obviously we want it to be effective, but there's all these other guideline label restrictions, and then you add on top of that the cutoff date in the boot heel. So, you know, we want it to be less, and I would think that at this time last year, it is less than last year.
So no doubt you'll have a quieter summer, maybe in this regard. You were one of the strong voices in the weed science community, and not the only voice, but a very strong one, on the concern over the volatility of the products, which the companies that make them denied that was an issue. Do you stand by your research, and is that something that you think has been proven right, in a sense, since we have seen all these restrictions now with the federal government getting involved in states?
Yeah, I mean, we're here to tell the truth and what we see in our research, and that's all I've tried to do, and a lot of others have tried to do from the beginning. And our research shows there's volatility in these products still today. I mean, we're still doing more, but numerous university weed scientists have shown that and provided those results and illustrated those results all throughout the winter, and nothing has really changed for me. You know, we're repeating a second year worth of this work, and you know, we have soybeans right now that we call them indicator plants, and they were suspended in the field above a soybean canopy after the application was made. They're 12 inches above the canopy, and they weren't even there when the application was made, and they're cupped up. I mean, there's only one way that can get to be that way if you do your research right. And so we have a lot of data, and there's, you know, I'm not going to argue with anybody that wants to dispute what we have. We'll let the scientists do that who are going to see it in the journal articles and all of that. We're going to go through the normal scientific process of publishing that data, but we feel really good about our results. We're not trying to make anybody upset or mad or anything, but it is just an illustration that, you know what, this is just, you know, it is not what it was marketed to be, and we got to do something about it if we want to keep this on the market and want to go forward with this technology. And so far, that hasn't really been addressed to any significant degree.
You mentioned published in journal articles. Is that forthcoming from the university?
Yeah, so our discipline, it's typical that, well, it's really a requirement of publication. You know, you take at least two years of field research before you can publish. And so we're in our second one right now, and we fully intend to submit all of this for publication through the normal processes. And that's going to come this fall once we duplicate everything we did last year. But, you know, last season we did about, I think it was somewhere around 10 or 11 studies on volatility in the field, air sampling and indicator plants and all of that. We've already done three this year, and we're doing the exact same thing we did last year and see if it's any different or see if it's the same from the first year. And so, I mean, that's just what we do all the time. I have students constantly doing this ever since I've been here throughout my career. So this fall, we're going to submit that work for publication. And, you know, that's just part of the scientific process that we go through, and it'll be hopefully published. And so that's kind of what I was talking about there.